You can find the reading on page 1172 in the Church Bibles. It's from Galatians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to come up with you. I'm sure. It's okay.
I just want a quick.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Can I introduce my friend Hayden? Hayden's been coming for a few weeks to St. James, and it was a real God thing that we met, wasn't it, in Pico Lounge. So myself and a few friends had gone out for a birthday lunch, and we were sitting there, and in came Hayden, and I knew Hayden from Glossopdale, didn't I, years ago. So we got chatting and said, we're from church, and we started to talk about Jesus, and anyway, she's here, and she comes every week. But she, I know, welcome to Hayden. And it's a strange environment for her, and sometimes these environments can be a bit difficult, but we've welcomed her, and I love that about this church. So Hayden wanted to say something quickly.
Quickly. Thanks for Tracy for the kid at the bar, who's crazy, who we all love. Thanks for Chelsea and Costa, who's also dead nice to me. Well, thanks to Holly for my new Bible. Obviously, thanks for everything for my new family.
Yeah, amen to that. Thank you, Hayden. Go sit down. Thank you for that, darling. Go and sit yourself down. We'll have a cup after. Isn't it really nice when someone comes in and says, thank you for making me feel welcome? So I thought it was right to invite her up and speak to us. Anyway, on to the fruits of the Spirit. Thank you, Hayden. Right, I'm going to get my head together now because I feel all emotional. Right, before we start, did everybody get a piece of paper when you came in? It says on it, let me find mine. Is this growing in the fruits of the Spirit? Holy Spirit, not any other kind of spirit. Vodka. Okay, so have you all got a piece of paper and a pen nearby? Because you'll need to kind of fill these in. If you haven't, put your hand up, and my beautiful assistant Duncan at the back said he'll help out today. So thank you. Where is he? He's gone. Maybe he changed. Oh, he's not. He's there. He's there. Miriam's become my beautiful helper. Thank you. So just whilst those are being given out to those people who haven't got one, I love this discipleship stuff. Do you? You know, like when we can kind of get into the nitty-gritty of Christian living and walking with God and going deeper with him and going deeper with each other and kind of growing in these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us and the fruits of him being in our life. And I kind of love this stuff. I want to do it for myself, and I want to see people really engaging with what God wants to do. So I loved it when I got this one. However, being a Kingdom Kids preacher and leader, it's a bit difficult for me to speak about the fruits of the Spirit without bursting into song. We've all done it. I think we've done it. The fruits of the Spirit's not a coconut. Anyway, I won't sing to you. But there's a danger in me sometimes to kind of write these off as scriptures for kingdom kids, because they're easy and they're lovely. And we talk about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And I know them off by heart. And again, that can make me a little bit like, oh, I know all that. Yeah, I know all that. And so we can skip over passages. You will be thankful to know we haven't got a song that covers the beginning part of the passage about the sins of the flesh. We don't sing about that in kingdom kids. And isn't that the truth? We kind of put some things for some age groups and some things for others, and then some things for some people and some things for others. But actually the truth is, this is really weighty stuff, all of it. It's deep stuff. It's the stuff of the Holy Spirit, the living God, who wants to change us from glory to glory and wants to see us living in the freedom that Jesus paid for us to have. So when he died on the cross, he paid for every single sin. So when we come to that passage and it talks about the desires of the flesh, and we read that really weighty stuff about sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, which is disharmony, conflict, disputes, arguments, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. It's almost like that's like the worst stuff, isn't it? It's like, if you tell a lie, is it that bad? But if you get into witchcraft, that's really bad. But actually, it's all sin. And the truth is, it's all relevant for everybody. Everybody look round and look at everybody around you. Just this one time today, the rest of the time I'm going to focus on ourselves. This is relevant for every single person in this room. The people on your right, the people on your left, the people at the back, and for me at the front. It's relevant. Because whilst we've got a flesh, we're going to be tempted. Whilst we've got this body that lives on this sinful earth, we're all subject to these temptations, to these sins. Whether you've ever experienced before or not, you will do at some point. I've got to the grand young age of 42. I've been coming to this church for 20 years and I've been a Christian all my life. And in all honesty, I've been tempted in every single area, and I've probably sinned in nearly all of them. And I'm not going to tell you which ones I haven't. But I'm only 42. And I've led a pretty sheltered life, to be honest. I've not lived in the Bronx or in inner city Manchester or London. I've lived in lovely Glossop. I've got a lovely family. And yet, I'm subject to it just like everybody else. So I don't think you're the only one. If you read any of those and you go, oh gosh, nobody else will have ever done that, that's not true. And I'll bet everybody in this room could say the same. And if you can't, great, but brace yourself, because you might one day come into temptation in these areas. So, my prayer today, in fact, let's just pray. I didn't pray at the start, sorry. Let's pray to now. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us to look at these things in your word today, to come with sober judgment about ourselves and honesty before you, with our own hearts open, Lord, for your spirit to be at work. Help us to see, Lord, the things in us that are getting in the way of growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And help us, Lord, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, to yearn after those things, to want to see them grow in our lives, to then develop into our character. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so Paul is talking to the church, the new church, the believers, and he's talking about how they've got this battle going on inside them. And I found a really helpful story, because has anyone ever felt that battle of being tempted and then like not wanting to do it, but really wanting to do it, knowing it's wrong, but oh, I still really want to do it anyway. Anyone who's ever been on a diet will know how that feels. Because it's like, I really want that chocolate and I've got to eat the carrot. The carrot's going to nourish me, it's going to help me see in the dark, apparently. And the chocolate's just going to make me fat. But the chocolate's so good. It tastes so nice. It smells so good. And that's the thing about temptation. No one's ever tempted to eat dog food, unless you're a dog. Or, like, you know, smear dog dirt on your skin to make yourself smell nice, because it stinks. It's horrible. Something only tempting if it looks good at the start and if it smells good and if it seems like it's going to do us good. So I found this really helpful story, again on Facebook, where I'm on a lot, and some of you will have heard it, but I found it really helpful in getting that picture of that struggle in the flesh. And it's a story of a grandfather who's teaching his grandson about life, and he says to him, "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil, he is anger, he's envy, sorrow, regret, greed, and self-pity." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, and self-control." The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too. The grandson thought about this for a minute, and he asked, "Which wolf will win?" The old man simply replied, "The one you feed." And I thought, how helpful is that a picture? It's so true. What we feed will grow, and what we starve will eventually die. So let's just think about that for a minute. Why feed will grow, and whatever I starve, I put eventually in brackets, because some things take a bit longer than others, depending on how big they are. Some things take years, other things pretty quick. But whatever you starve will not grow. It will start to die. And likewise, what you feed will grow in your life. And we're thinking about growing these fruits, aren't we? Because we can all be patient at times. We can all be kind at times. We can all be faithful and have self-control in some circumstances. But we want those things to develop our character, to become so part of us that that's the norm rather than something we have to try and do or something we have to try and be in certain situations. And I know the value of this in my life, I've got to tell you. It's something God's been doing in me for a number of years and I'm still on it. But I know the value of feeding the right thing and starving the wrong thing. So have a think in your mind. What is it that I want to grow in my life? And what is it that I'm going to have to starve for a bit? So this is the time now when we don't look at anyone else. The amount of sermons I've been in when I've thought, oh, they should be in here listening to this. Actually, it's me that God's speaking to. So let's focus on ourselves. Okay, we'll quickly go on. Let's have a look again at the list that Paul talks about. The acts of the flesh. So we've got sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, discord, which is conflict, disputes and arguments, jealousy, fits of rage, factions, which is divisions and cliques, dissensions, opposition, disagreements, rebellion, envy, jealousy, resentment and greed, hatred, selfish ambition, drunkenness, orgies and the like, whatever and the like is. So like everything else and everything else. It's like all covered. So just as we're looking at that, sometimes when I read things like that, it's like one thing that jumps out at me and I go, oh yeah, that's me. And it kind of doesn't kind of sit right because you know it. We all know it. Nobody needs to come and point the finger at us and say, you are this. Because we all know, don't we, what we are. We all know the thing in us that we don't like about ourselves. And I'll share with you my thing at the minute that God's been doing and working on is anger. So I'd say fits of rage. It sounds like a fits of rage. You don't have rage. I probably do. I have a problem with anger in that I'll have an angry outburst. I'll get really cross and then I go, bah! And it's like, ugh, I need to feel better. So I need to indulge this flesh, this angry feeling inside me so that I can feel better and have my say. And it's, but you know what? I hate it about me. It's something that every time I go, oh, I've done it again. It's horrible. I don't like it. I'm sharing it with you because I am an honest person anyway. And probably most of you have seen it at some point in me because I tend not to hide it very well. But I can get angry really quickly. So with this kind of stuff, the Holy Spirit has been teaching me how I can starve the anger and the outbursts and the fits of rage and feed the self-control and feed kindness and goodness and speaking well to people and kind words instead. So on your sheet, nobody's going to look. If there's anything on there that you think, that's me, write it down. in your I'm going to starve this column. Whatever it is. And don't think you're the only one. Like I say, I'm 42, and all of them, barring a couple, I've probably dabbled in at some point. Or been tempted in anyway. Not necessarily that I've gone and sinned, but there's been something in my mind that started off in all of these areas. You're not on your own. Nobody in here is without sin. Okay. Now, the good part. That's what we're going to starve. That's what God's telling us today, the thing that's jumped out. What are we going to feed? So let's now have a look again at the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, I've missed the word Spirit off. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, which is harmony, reconciliation, goodwill. We know what these means, but I think the extra words help us to kind of hone in and go, like, for example, peace. Are we somebody who maybe at work is regularly in areas where there's lots of gossip and calling names and calling the boss? It's a little bit like that at work for me. You've got lots and lots of staff, and lots of times there's always somebody that they're having a go at because they're not doing it the way that they would do it. And being in that kind of area is feeding something in our flesh, and we have to kind of step back from it. But sometimes we don't realise that we're in it till we're actually in it. So are you a person of peace where you'll bring the right words about somebody? Build them up in those areas. Do you want to be a person of reconciliation in work where there's divisions? Or in the church? The church is not immune to this. We've seen it. There's divisions. There's little cliques. There's groups of people that, and we can become divided, can't we? But what's the opposite? What's the Holy Spirit's answer to this? Is what for your thing that you're going to starve? Do you need patience, like I do, and mercy, tolerance? Do we need kindness, compassion, gentle-heartedness and consideration for those people that might just get on our nerves a bit? Do we need self-control? That's mine. I need self-control. I need self-discipline, self-restraint, so that when I start to get cross, it's mouth control, actually, for me. It's not so much my body, it's my mouth. Same on a diet, I have to control that. It's like, it's really hard. It's probably the biggest part of me as well. So I need self and mouth control. So I'm going to choose to starve my fits of rage, and I'm going to choose to feed self-control, kindness, gentleness and love. Those are the things that I'm going to put my energy into in order to starve my fits of rage. Okay, has everyone got some fruits down on the list? Brilliant. I once heard some teaching on the fruits of the Spirit, which I think I've kind of thought it anyway myself, where somebody taught that, like, if you have an orange tree, it grows oranges. If you have a lemon tree, it grows lemons. An apple tree will grow apples. And they don't have to strain to grow the fruit. It just happens. As long as they're being watered and fed, the fruit will grow. And that's true. What you feed will grow. But I thought that if I had the Holy Spirit in me, I would just turn into a person full of self-control and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And I would just be this amazing, wonderful Christian who was full of all of that because it was the Holy Spirit in me, not me. And so when that didn't happen, I was like, I haven't got the Holy Spirit. So every time there was a conference and a call, who wants to be filled with the Spirit? I'd be like, woof, right down to the front, fill me, fill me, fill me. Go away, back home. Rah! Oh, I didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with me? Why is the Holy Spirit not living in me? But the truth is, He is. And I have got the fruit of the Spirit, just like you have. But we have to feed it. We have to cooperate with God. We have to do what He tells us to do. We have to actively feed patience in order to be patient. We have to choose it. Before we're in such a rage that I have got no control anymore, we have to step back and choose it at the beginning. So just looking at that then, when we sin, people don't just kind of fall into sin. It usually starts with a thought or a temptation from our environment, doesn't it? And just like in the beginning when Eve sinned, so Adam and Eve are in the garden and they're enjoying this wonderful relationship with God. They're free to eat from anything at all in the garden barring one tree. And the enemy comes in, Satan, and it says this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman says to the serpent, we may eat from any of the fruit trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. So at this point, Eve knows right and wrong. She knows she can't eat that fruit from that tree, and she can't even touch it or she'll die. And up to this point, they haven't. And it doesn't say anything in the Bible about them keep going near it and like, ooh. Like children, you say, don't touch the fire. They go like that, don't they? Isn't it funny about temptation? Like the flesh will just go, why not? Why? But they, up to this point, they didn't. They were just happy with what God had said. But he comes in and he plants a little seed in her mind that says, is it really that bad? Did he really say that? And she should at that point have walked away and said, God said no, so I'm not. But she didn't. She stays with him and she starts to have a little chat with him. And the serpent says to her, you'll not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from the tree, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. Now he was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to build his throne up there with God and have everything under his feet and have people worship him. And he was cast out of heaven. But here he is tempting her. You'll be like God. You'll know everything. At this point, she could still have said, no. God said no. And that's enough. And walked away. But she didn't. She allowed her mind to listen to him. To dwell on what he'd said. To consider his argument of, oh, it's not that bad. And you'll get good things. And then she looks at the tree. It says this, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for great gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband and he ate it. So at this point, she's looking at this fruit tree and she's probably going, her mouth's probably watering like, oh, it does look really good. Really nice, that fruit. Got all of this in the garden, but that one's actually really nice and I do want wisdom. And yeah, I could be like God. And I'm a bit hungry. And my mouth's watering. Go on then, let's just try it. And off she goes and does it. Because she's allowed her mind to stay there long enough for her flesh to engage. And this is the danger zone. The thoughts are not sins. The tempting things that pop into your head. You're not sinning. We're all tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. The thing about him was he said, it is written. God said, no, I'm not doing it. And he didn't engage anymore with Satan and start discussions of, well, could it be a bit wrong or is it really that bad? He just was like, it is written. And it was enough. Whereas Eve didn't. She allowed herself to get drawn in. And I wonder how many of us find ourselves in situations where we've just not got it at the beginning. And pretty soon, because we feed it, because we think about it, because our flesh gets involved, we can end up with a bit of a wolf that feels like it controls us and we've got no control anymore. And it's hungry and it needs feeding. Nobody falls into an addiction. Nobody falls into an affair. Nobody falls into pornography addiction. It's not something that we just one day find. I didn't one day find myself unable to control my anger. It's because we feed it with the initial thought, with the initial temptation. We let ourselves go down there. And, you know, sometimes it's not a choice. Sometimes our environment feeds us and feeds our minds. You know, I grew up in an angry household. My stepdad and my mum didn't have a great marriage. There was lots of arguments. There was lots of shouting and banging doors. And that was my home. And I kind of think my mind was fed with that outside of my control being a child. But I'm not a child anymore. I'm an adult. And I know that that's not God's way. So even though I can see why it's a struggle for me, it's still not right. And we can sometimes just think, well, it's just me. It's just, I can't do anything about it. It's the way I was brought up. Well, that's a lie. You're not powerless. It doesn't control you. It's not bigger than God. There's nothing in your life today, whatever that is, I'm going back to it, there's nothing on that list. However big a wolf you feel it is in your life that you can't control, it is not. You have the power of the living God in you. We have the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. We have authority over our own lives in Jesus' name. We do not have to be consumed by a wolf. So whatever it is today, know this. Jesus is mightier. He died for you to be free from all of this. Your sin can't keep you out of heaven if you're a believer. Jesus died so that you can be in relationship with him and you can have eternal life. Sin can no longer keep you from him. It can no longer condemn you to hell because we're not under the law, but it can rob you of your life while you're here. It can keep you in chains that are not from God, that are straight from hell. If we don't actively do something about it, we're not passive. We're not powerless. We're children of the mighty God. We're set apart and chosen. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the army of God, sent out in the world to bring hope and freedom. How can we do that if we're living in chains? If we're living with wolves at the door that we feel like we can't control anymore? You're not. I'm not. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing choice. It's a battle sometimes between my flesh and the fruit. In fact, I'll just share this with you. Last night, I prepared all this. I finished all that. I was like, yeah, feeling good about this. And then something happened and I was like, again. And then sat down and thought, oh, I've done it again. I can't go and speak on this tomorrow. I'm failing. I'm getting it wrong. And I went in and spoke to Henny, who was the one I shouted at. Let me just tell you. And I sat on a bed and I told her, I said, I'm supposed to be speaking on it. I'd already apologised and done that, I'm really sorry thing. I said, I can't go tomorrow and speak on this, Hen. How can I when I did this? And she said, but we're all learning, Mum. She said, and I bet Andrew does the same. Do you know? Yeah. Because we're all learning. Yeah. Do you know what? We could just photocopy it, I think, and send them round. But isn't that the truth? We're all learning. God is gracious. He's merciful. He knows how. Jesus knows what the desires of the flesh are. He knows what it's like to be tempted and yet was without sin. And he can help us in our times when we're in the sin, however big we've let it get. You know, we need to come and go, Lord, I've fed it. Look what I've made. Look what I've let happen in my life. I'm sorry. We need to confess that to him and not be ashamed. Adam and Eve went and hid from God when they'd taken that fruit because they were full of shame. I know that. I know what it feels like when I've shouted at my girls and I go into my bedroom and go, oh, I hate this about me. But his forgiveness is, and his mercies are new every day. And every time we come and we repent, he forgives us and we're set free and it's a clean slate again. We need to know this about each other. We're all sinners. Nobody in here is perfect and we're all in it together. Let's hold each other up and encourage each other in this. You know, share these sheets with a trusted friend, a prayer partner. Go and say, this is mine. Keep me accountable to this. Pray for me in this. We're calling each other higher to a better way, to a freedom in Jesus that maybe some people have never actually known what that really feels like. Because we sing about it and we read about it and we go, yeah, this is the Christian life. And for some of us, it's just not a reality. But I believe that there are people in here today who've maybe got giants that need slaying. And God is bigger. Because when you're a Christian, when you have a mighty God with you, you can be the size of a six-year-old with a slingshot and a pebble, and the giant will fall. You know, we don't have to be afraid of these things in our life. We don't have to feel like we can't do anything else. But we do have to feed the fruit. So I'm going to put the fruit back up. Okay, let me give you an example of how this has worked in my life. Because you're probably just thinking, well, how do you just love? How do you just do gentleness and kindness and patience? Right. So this is a scenario that's happened a number of times in our family. One of my danger zones where I tend to get angry is if we're late. and everybody's getting ready, and I'm clock watching and trying to get the kids ready, and Ryan's off having a brew because he's ready, and I'm like, everybody's not ready. And then it's usually on a morning when it's school as well, and then Hope seems to always be the one that takes the longest because she's six, and that's what six-year-olds do. But in my anger, I don't see six-year-old getting ready. I see, you're not getting ready. And she's a bit like me, and then she'll shout back and go, I'm doing my best. So we start that, and then it builds up, and I get angry and angry till I do actually really lose my rag, and it's usually just before we hit school. And then I go, and now we need to pray. And we sit in the car, and I'm like, how can I pray? You pray to the girls, and they're like, Mummy, please help Mummy. Lord, please help Mummy today to be kind and generous. And I'm like, yeah, I need that, because I pray for myself. And then they go into school. Or sometimes we've been going somewhere else, and then we hit, and I'm in the car like, and all the time I'm thinking, Holly, shut your mouth. Shut mouth. Stop tongue talking. But at this point, I'm already boiling. It's really hard to wind it back when I'm already in that state. Then somebody on Motram Moor decides that he's more important than me in that moment and cuts me up. And I'm like, they're so rude. Drivers are so rude. Da, 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 da. And on it goes. And we arrive to our destination late and everybody's upset and I feel ashamed. And I feel rubbish again. And that's the pattern that's been repeated in my life over and over and over and over again. And I can see it being repeated in front of my children. And I'm like, no, that can't happen anymore in our family. They can't absorb what I did. It's got to stop. And so this is how this growing of the fruit thing has worked for me. I know because it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So I know that if I take my thought right at the beginning over here and say no to that angry outburst and choose to speak kindness and encouragement and goodness instead of what I actually want to say, it kind of kills it straight away. So like we're getting ready and inside I'm going, we're going to be late. Instead of going, get your clothes on, I go, you are so good at getting ready. Look how super quick you are at getting ready. You're brilliant. And amazingly enough, she speeds up. And that, me belly aching at her and telling her to hurry up doesn't make her speed up ever. Just makes her cry and go, I'm doing my best for me. And I'm like, oh, I'm so awful. So I then tell her how good she is at this. And in my head, I hear she is much more important than being there on time. And that anger then becomes like, you are not important enough to have your angry outburst, Holly. She is important right now. And my flesh goes, because I'm still feeling it. But I continue and I go, doesn't matter if we're late, girls. Doesn't matter. We'll get there. Nobody's died. Everything's fine. Let's just enjoy getting ready. Let's have some music on. We put some music on. Because I'm learning these ways to make sure that that initial feeling in my flesh of crossness doesn't get to grow and be fed anymore. I'm feeding the opposite thing. And it's funny, the more you feed the fruit, the easier it becomes to feed it. The stronger we become quite quickly in these areas. It doesn't take years sometimes. Sometimes you're like, actually, I'm practicing this and it's making a huge difference. And we see it. Likewise with the wolf though. If you keep feeding that, it's so hard. Because on this day now, when we've got in the car and I've gone onto Motram Moor and that man cuts me up, Henna says from the back, because she's used to it, that man cut you up. And I say, I know. I wonder where he's going in that much of a hurry. Let's pray for him. Because he might be going to the hospital. He might have children that are really sick somewhere. We don't know what's going on in his life. Because the truth is we don't. And then instead of me cursing him for cutting me up and how dare you get in front of me, I then go, Lord, be with him. Help him to get there safely. And we pray for him. And then they're being taught this instead of that horrible angry outburst. And actually, I get then to my destination and I feel great. I feel like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm growing. And then other days, like last night, I go, ugh! Because it's a daily walk, isn't it? And you know what? We have opportunity every single day in our lives to feed fruit or to feed a wolf. Wherever you are, there'll be an opportunity every single day for you to make a choice right at the beginning of a thought to either feed it and go down that road, or to choose the opposite and feed this. And I want to see us all growing to such a point where our character is full of faithfulness and peace and joy and gentleness and kindness and patience and goodness and love and self-control. That's who we are. That's the Holy Spirit in us. That's the Christian life that is free from the bondage of that. Because we've fed the right thing. And it's only when we get to heaven, when we will be without all of that. This was something God told me a while ago, and I shared it in a sermon. It's only on earth we get to choose between good and evil, between life and death. In Kingdom Kids today, they're doing the new heaven and the new earth, and they're talking about the new bodies and how there'll be no more pain and no more sadness. And I'm kind of like, I love all that. So I hope they really get that and have fresh revelation of the newness that's coming. So it's only here we ever get to exercise this, where we get free will to go, actually, I choose God. I choose Jesus Christ. I choose the Holy Spirit. I choose to honour that person instead of tearing them down. I choose to bring unity instead of division. I choose to speak good to my children and my husband, and to invest in my marriage above being tempted with somebody else because I'm feeling rubbish. So let's take this life that we've got of being faced, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Even tells us the right answer. I set before you life and death. Choose life. That's the answer. Let's choose to bring life to people. Okay, very quickly, because I know we've got to finish. One thing I do have to do is keep a guardrail on my life in danger areas. There's danger areas, like I've shared, mine is when we're late, I'm susceptible to get angry really quickly. What is it in you, with your thing that you're going to starve, what are your danger zones? What sets your flesh off in that area and you know you're weak? So for example, somebody, I know that there's pornography is everywhere these days, and children and teenagers are specifically susceptible because it pops up on computer screens. So I know that there are families who have one family computer in a room downstairs that everybody accesses, and they don't allow late TV or phones or iPads or any internet connection in bedrooms, in order to put a guardrail, a safety rail, to stop their children from falling into that zone. So your guardrails are these things that we see along the snake pass as well, don't we? Because it's a dangerous road. And when drivers are vulnerable, the road's slippy, somebody's fallen asleep, they quite easily could go over the edge. So your guardrails in your life are your boundaries that you set, because in the light of your past experience and what you know about yourself, and looking forward to where you want to go, what am I going to put in place to stop me from falling over the edge when I'm vulnerable? If you're growing in a habit of drinking every day in a certain time or a certain place with a certain friend, or that's all I can think of at the minute. But let's say that that is what it is. Maybe you'll decide not to have alcohol in the house. Maybe you'll decide to not meet with that friend for a few weeks. Because it's a guardrail. This is important. We need to make sure that we're safe. And so we put these guardrails in place, and then we say, those are my guardrails, and I'm going, instead of doing this, I'm going to do this. Because you can't just think, I'm not going to think about being angry. I'm not going to think about alcohol. Because the minute somebody says that, you think about it. If I said to you, do not think of a cloud right now, what are you thinking about? A cloud. But if I say, think about kindness, then maybe you start to get an impression of somebody that's kind, or a feeling, or a picture of what you think kindness looks like. So we need to set our minds on what we want to feed, and we need to ignore and starve the thing that we want to get rid of and die. And we're going to do that before the Lord in a minute. We're going to bring this before him. We're going to pray into it. And we're going to say, this is the line today. This is where it stops for me. This is no longer going to control me. I'm going to make that decision together as the body of Christ, holding each other up in prayer. And if you want prayer, there's prayer ministry team that are going to come and pray in the Lady Chapel for anybody who feels like they just need some extra support in that. And Jean's going to come up with the band now, and we're going to have some worship and a song that she's going to sing, which will really help us to focus on who God is in this. I want to do this. It's like doing life. I love this. It's like, yeah, come on. Let's do this together. I'm so excited for what God can do with those people who are willing to say, I made a mistake. I fed this all my life. I've fallen into this because it's become really big. But whatever your wolf is today, however big your wolf is, or whether it's a tiny little thing that you go, oh, I think that might be forming into a habit, let's bring that before God. So have your piece of paper and let's get ready to confess these things and to choose the opposite and work in the Holy Spirit and grow in the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus died for us to have freedom. He died for us to be turned into his likeness. We're changed from glory to glory. We're changed so that we can go out and change people and bring hope and bring prayer. So let's just focus our minds on how massive and mighty God is. And then just, this really helps in Kingdom Kids. Let's just picture Almighty God on his throne in heaven with everything under his feet. That his name, the name of Jesus, is the name that is above every name in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And at his name, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that he is Lord. Whatever it is has to bow in the presence of Jesus. Giants fall in the presence of Jesus. Lord, we just come before you now with this stuff of our lives that we want to get rid of and say, help us, Lord, to starve these things that we've fed for too long. Lord, we confess with our mouths that we've sinned, that we've done stuff that you've told us not to do, that we've indulged our flesh because it's made us feel better. But Lord, at times we've felt shameful and hidden away from you because of these things. Lord, help us never to hide away from you. You bring everything to light. And restore us back to that life of freedom that you died for us to have in Jesus' name. Let's just posture ourselves before the Lord as Jean leads us in this next song.